Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Let's talk to, this guy's got a good name, T. Eagle in Northeast Philadelphia. Good morning, T. Eagle.
What's up, guys? I just called in to give everybody, I wanted to give everybody their flowers, man. That's all. BG, man, you, a couple weeks ago, probably a couple months ago, you recorded a message on my son's phone. On my phone for my son. He loved that, man. I appreciate you for that. And I feel like you're part of family now. I love you, man.
Man, appreciate you.
Richie, I've been watching you for years, man. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate everything you do, man. I appreciate the knowledge you bring to the station.
Thanks,
Rhea, everything you do. Everything you do, man. Seltzer, you my guy. You know, I talk to you all the time. Even though I may not get through, I respect it.
Oh, his phone caught out right.
Oh, that was so perfect. Can we just end it there?
Brandon, I was about to get a compliment, right? His phone cut out.
It's coming.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
All right, T. Eagle.
That's the best timing of anything that's ever happened.
I think your phone's back. Proceed.
Joe, I just wanted to say, man, you know, I love how you bring wisdom to the station. You bring,
wisdom.
Funniness. You keep the show lively, man, and you know I love you for that also. And I just want to give
thank
you your flowers, man.
Thank
I'm
you.
Going, man. That's
thank
all.
You. Thank
oh,
you.
And my one of a kind.
Yeah, one of a kind. What do you got?
It's amazing how our nations can't agree on nothing, but one thing we can agree on is to keep everybody from going to Antarctica. I think Antarctica is one of a kind.
Here's my only argument against Antarctica is one of a kind, because we're giving away the tickets to the Philadelphia Auto Show today, and we're looking for what's one of a kind on the anniversary of the Globetrotters debuting 98 years ago. Isn't the North Pole kind of like Antarctica? Kind of.
And there are other continents.
There are other continents. But this concept
but
of
it
like it's
different
uber
continent.
Cold... You know, you're at the pole.
The North Pole is not a continent.
No, I know, and it's not technically land, but
but
a lot of ice.
It is like the same thing. There are poles.
Yeah.
It feels very similar. You only have penguins at one, though.
Yeah, I think Antarctica doesn't work.
Penguins are only at the South Pole?
I don't know. Penguin knowledge, man.
I've seen
South African penguins.
Yeah, so I think penguins are... Only South.
If you guys say. All right, it's time to, because we're going to be giving away a pair of tickets on Friday. Eagles and the Green Bay Packers. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. Strong reminder to you. Listen, today, right now, tomorrow, Thursday and Friday at 8 o'clock, because you will hear a name of a current or former player or coach, and with that name, you can win the tickets on Friday. Let's crank up a name.
And the name is...
The name's going to be given to us by Brandon Graham. BG.
Ooh, I like this.
Give us the name of one of your Super Bowl teammates from 2017. Who should we bestow the honor of being a significant contributor? And a name we'll throw out to the Delaware Valley right now. Who's top of mind?
Ooh, Nick Foles.
Nick Foles.
Let's make some noise. Come on.
There it is.
That was the big one.
How's everyone doing?
That could have changed for sure.
History could have been very, very different.
Yes.
That was the correct answer, Brandon.
Yeah.
Well done.
That was the big one.
To either name yourself or Nick. Those are the two. So.
All right. Yeah. So know the name Nick Foles Friday at 8 o'clock with that name. Although BG's not eligible because he's already got tickets, otherwise known as a sideline pass, to be at the game. Know the name Nick Foles, and with that name, you can win the tickets Friday at 8 o'clock. Yeah,
awesome
for sure.
Name. Penguins don't live at the North Pole. They are only South Pole.
Only South.
Penguins. And think about it, too. How would they get to the North Pole? How would a penguin I mean, I guess it, there's no way you can make that swim.
Santa's sleigh picks them up.
They can't fly.
They gotta take a flight. Somebody got to take care of them on a flight.
Right, so, BG, you were up at ESPN this weekend. So, congrats on that.
I appreciate
sort of spot for you. I know you may or may not retire after this year. What was it like to do the ESPN Countdown pregame show?
It was cool. It was really. It was different from what we do on here. It was more. Some stuff was recorded, and it was kind of cool to see the ins and outs of that show.
You look great in that suit, by the way.
I appreciate you. You know, I'm gonna take all the credit. My wife helped me with that.
Yeah.
And so, I had a good time, enjoyed it, and man, it was just a great experience on just something that I grew up watching. Sunday NFL Countdown. Never thought that you would get a chance to be on there. Then when you do get one, how am I gonna do?
Yep.
Man, your heart beating a little fast.
So were you a little nervous?
Yeah. Especially when you're in unfamiliar territory. Like now, I'm more comfortable with us doing this. But boy, when it first started, being on radio, I felt like I never took a pause, and I almost passed out the first time I did.
Wow.
it was like Doug Peterson's first team meeting, and I mean, he almost passed out. So I knew exactly what that feeling was, and it was cool. It was really cool.
Have you ever worn that much makeup?
Oh, well, you know what? That's a different thing. I didn't really have too much. She kept giving me compliments on my skin and stuff like
wow.
that. But, so it was cool.
Really?
You didn't even need it. Look at that.
He doesn't need makeup
because
he has gorgeous skin.
Well, but that's what the lady was telling me when I was doing it. But I do understand I still got some makeup.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
But gorgeous skin nonetheless.
There you
and
go.
She's a skin professional, so that she must. She definitely knows what she's talking about.
Nah, it was cool. It was cool to see. But yeah, the whole
good for
process,
you, bud.
The whole process was cool.
That's great, man. BG in studio with us. Of course, the Eagles and the Packers coming up on Sunday. Nick Sirianni with us in about 40 minutes at 8:40. 215-592-9494. So we started the show today with, you know, I had mentioned that I am really, frankly, stunned at what I believe is a level of disrespect nationally that the Eagles are getting right now. And, you know, this isn't a 2017 scenario, and that was somewhat understandable because Carson had gotten hurt and Foles didn't play well at the end of the year. I mean, being an underdog twice at home was odd. But again, you know, Foles, it was, you know, you didn't know until you knew. At least a lot of people didn't. But this one surprises me. Three facts that have struck me in the last 2 weeks that have really, 2 days, that have hit me that I believe speak to some disrespect for the Eagles nationally. Number one, started as a 3.5-point favorite. A little low. So it's a little low, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now it's going
in
up.
The protocol.
Well, I think the fact that it's moved to 5 already, or 5 fluctuating between 5 and 5.5, tells you it was too low.
And I have respect for Green Bay. I want to be clear. I think they're a very good team. They're clearly a tremendous franchise. They're frequently, it's like the Eagles and Pittsburgh. There's some teams that are just
they're
almost,
one of those teams.
They're
no
one
doubt.
Of those teams. Always in the playoffs. Good for them. But like the Eagles are 12-1 in their last 13 games. Eagles have home field advantage. They beat Green Bay. They're rested.
They beat Green
Bay.
And
by the way, Green Bay's quarterback has an injury thing, too, coming in. Like,
yes,
we have no idea what's going on with the hand and all that.
Yeah, think about that. That ulnar nerve controls your grip. That's your grip strength. He says he can't feel his pinky. The ulnar nerve that, you know,
it's
your ring finger and pinky. Ooh. That is your grip.
Yeah.
So cold grip, it does matter.
Yeah, I was surprised. Now, the line's going up, but I thought that was one sign of disrespect for the Eagles starting as only a 3.5-point favorite. The second was ESPN's got a big article out yesterday with each team and their percentage chance to reach the Super Bowl. Not win it, but reach it. And the Eagles from the NFC were given only a 15% chance, technically a lower, 14.6, to reach the Super Bowl. And I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. 14.6 chance to reach the Super Bowl. That to me, that's nonsense.
When you look
nonsense.
At it, I think that's low.
Low.
And I do, when you compare that to the Lions having in the same article a 40-something percent chance, that's skewed. But when you look at the paths that we have to take,
it's a tough path.
Our path through this wild card this year with the NFC really feeling as sturdy as it's ever been. This path against a good Packers team that does have injury issues now and declining play of its young quarterback that I think really set us up for success. But then after that, we'll probably play the Vikings and then the Lions.
Yeah,
that's
tough.
That's murderer's row. Look, just right there.
I'm not saying
to
it's
get
easy.
To the Chiefs or Bills.
I'm not saying it's easy, but I've seen this Eagles team. We all have. And I do not believe they should have as low as a 15% chance to reach the Super Bowl. I think it's ridiculous.
It's a little low, but I think those who know football across the nation understand that we are a dominant football
team. Well, here's
the
third
one. They respect our chances. Everyone's looking at this NFC Championship game. Everyone expects it to be the Lions and the Eagles in Detroit.
Look, here's the third thing that bugged me. And again, I want to be clear. This sort of bugs me, but I'm also energized by it because I think the team can use this stuff. Somehow the Eagles have the fifth best odds to win the Super Bowl behind Baltimore? I mean, guys, the Eagles beat Baltimore a month ago. Like, beat them.
Yeah.
Beat them in Baltimore. And now Baltimore has a better chance. So anyway, I don't like that. Brandon, the concept of using fuel for the fire, how real was that in 2017? When you got, and this is not the same thing. You're not a home underdog. I want to be clear. Mm-hmm. It's not apples for apples. But when you have an opportunity to, I mean, Jordan, that was one of Jordan's thing. I mean, Michael Jordan would almost go out of his way to.
He manufactured.
Yeah.
He wanted, and I took that personally.
Yeah.
It became a meme. It was, you know.
Yeah. Like he wanted to find something that he felt he was being held back and held down and use that as motivation. When you guys went through the 2017 playoff journey, how real was utilizing being an underdog in that process?
Well, I was just going to tell you, like, man, this is something we used to. 2017 just reminded me of that. Even when we won, it was just talking about Brady the whole offseason instead of talking about the Eagles and them winning. It's nothing new. I mean, I'm not surprised by it at all. It's just you got to go earn it. You got to go earn it. And when you go hold that trophy up, it don't matter what people saying or not saying. They can talk about the losing team all offseason. It don't matter. But it's more about us going out there to prove it and earn it. And so, hey, it's nothing new to me. I love it. I love that people sleeping or whatever it is. They got all these numbers that they don't have this chance. But we got to go. We got to go prove that. And so, man, if anything, I know our team going to respond to all the stuff that people throw at us. And so, man, I'm excited.
So here's my theory, Brandon, because we've also been talking today, and everyone can weigh in at 215-592-9494. Do you agree or disagree that there's national disrespect for the Eagles when you hear those facts? And then if so, why do you think it is? So I've got two main whys, Brandon. Number one, I think the nation, again, I'm viewing this nationally, I think they literally don't know about Jalen Carter, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, and Zach Bond. I mean, the fact that Jalen Carter is not going to finish in the top 10 of Defensive Player of the Year, that is a joke. It's a joke because the guy's a game wrecker. So that's a joke. And the other one to me, and this might be the biggest, I think nationally people just don't get the Sirianni thing, don't like kind of like him, don't respect him. And I think it's a shame. I think he's a great football coach, man.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people in the nation that think he's just going to, like, screw this up. That's not the way I see it, man.
Nick knows he got to go prove it just as much as we got to go prove it as players. So we all out there doing it together. Man, I like our chances.
All right, listen, Brandon, good luck to your squad. I know you won't be playing in the game, but
I'll be right there. We'll be on that sideline, baby, rooting. And, man, hopefully partying on that sideline, learning all the dances that people going to do just so that you can just go out there and have fun, man. And that's all we really want. Just go out there and have fun. It's a regular game. It's all the marbles on the floor right now, but it ain't nothing that we ain't used to. Let's just go play our game.
Good for you, man. Primo Hoagies, our sponsor, of course, of BG in studio every Tuesday at this time. Brandon, we look forward to talking to you next week. Not wrapping up a season.
Yes, sir.
But previewing a divisional round playoff game with three to go to win it all. Brandon, stay well, buddy. Good luck in the continued rehab, man.
Yeah, I'll see you next week.
All right, there he is. BG. Was it Lou Dog?
I don't know. I just played the song.
Yeah, I think they had songs where they would talk about
Lou Dog. It sounds right. It sounds right.
So good morning to you on a very cold Tuesday morning, 5 days from the Eagles and the Green Bay Packers. Sirianni in about 20 minutes. Elliot will join us soon. You know, I was struck by what Jaw said about the Green Bay, right, Rhea?
As soon as I went, oh, that's going in the update.
I mean, he didn't hold back at all.
His point, though, about Saquon, I thought was interesting. He goes, he was watching the film from the first game back in September. He goes, he was just getting his feet wet in this offense.
So was it three TDs in that game or two?
Yes, I think it was three.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you missed it, I mean, I think you just probably heard in the update. Joel's very confident the Eagles will win this game. I'm not that confident, but I am pretty darn confident. James, you getting excited?
Oh, yeah. Like, honestly, I've been, from the moment that game ended on Sunday, the juices have been flowing.
Any nerves yet? I don't have the nerves yet.
I don't either.
Are we overconfident? Look,
so I always have, so this happens to me every Sunday. Whenever the game is, an hour before the game, I get that feeling of, like, my whole week, and in this case, my whole off season relies on what happens in the next few hours, and I get those belly nerves. But I'm really confident in this team, man. I think they're awesome. Like, I really have a lot of faith in
this group. We don't want a Phillies crash and burn.
No, but they were. I didn't have as much confidence in the Phillies.
That was 3 months ago, John.
I didn't have as much confidence in the Phillies as I do with
that. Nothing to do with this. That has nothing to do with football.
No, it didn't.
It has nothing to do with the Eagles and this team and its
roster. No, but it has to do with how we feel is more the point, you know? Yeah,
it shouldn't. We are...
Oh, it 100% does.
Of course it does, John. It's ridiculous. Like, we're human beings, man.
We're all Philadelphia fans.
We're on a crash course for the Detroit Lions, and I do think the national perception, the perspective, is that... We're the big bullies. The Detroit Lions are the big bullies. We sit atop the NFC. Our path to get there is considerably harder than their path. So I guess they're factoring that in.
Yeah, they are.
Too much so because they have three times the expectation numbers wise to get to the Super Bowl according to one outlet.
Sure.
Yeah, that's crazy, but I do think everyone respects our team because of the toughness we've displayed this year. The run game, immediately, that impresses, that dazzles, that scares people around the league to where they respect us. They say, we can beat you up front, we can beat you where it matters. Jalen Carter is why people say we can do that on the defensive side of the football.
Well, we know it. I don't know if the nation knows it, but
we know. Our linebacker play.
Listen, I get it, man.
Is why our linebacker play is elite.
John, I think the Eagles are a legit number one defense in the NFL. And what I mean by that is there are times you can feast on bad quarterbacks. This wasn't one of them.
No.
They faced a lot of good teams.
The numbers show that we are a good defense. The fact that we got Vic Fangio sitting up there calling the plays, that proved, everyone knows that he can call a good defense. But I think people understand that the toughness, the intimidation, the tackling, that stuff, that's what puts us over the top. It really is the total package on the defensive side of the football. And I think nationally speaking, people do recognize that it's a good defense. They might not know exactly how or why as well as we do, but people respect the Eagles.
Well, all right. So, look, Nick Sirianni in about 20 minutes, 8:40 today, we'll talk to the Eagles head coach as he prepares, obviously, for the Green Bay Packers on Sunday. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Elliot Shore Parks. He's been on the beat all year. He's been on the beat the whole decade. And longer. And Elliot is brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. And let's hope this Eagles journey continues for another month. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? Good to talk to you guys.
You too, buddy. Long. Happy New Year to you, man. Everything good the last couple of weeks?
Well, I missed you, obviously. And Richie. I miss Richie. I miss you all.
So, like the Dickens.
Thanks, buddy. All right, so, Ellie, let's start with Hurts. We've gotten various reports, Garofalo with one, Ruben Frank with another, that this is kind of much ado about nothing, that he's really fine. Is that the sense you have?
Yeah, that's definitely the sense I have. And I understand he's the quarterback, it's the playoffs. I don't begrudge or think it's silly for anybody to be worried. I understand why there would be worry. But ultimately, he's going to practice on Wednesday. He will be cleared through the concussion protocol, and he'll play on Sunday. I would be stunned if there was any other outcome to this. I don't get a sense at all that they are worried that he might not play.
So that's great.
I get it, but I fully expect him to be out there.
So any injuries at all to be aware of, or are they just like totally rocking and rolling here?
I mean, they're pretty healthy. Obviously, N'Kobe's been dealing with that abdomen injury. I think he'll play, but, that is something he's been dealing with. Dallas Goedert returned and played last Sunday a few snaps. He'll be out there on Sunday. So they're in pretty good shape.
What about Kenny Pickett? Is he ready to play if needed with the ribs? And what is the truth on the ribs? I think it was CJ GJ or someone who told us they were broken.
Darius Slay,
Darius Slay.
Yeah, so obviously he played against the Cowboys, played well. You saw he took the hit, had to leave the game, hasn't practiced since. I don't have as good of a read on him as I do some of the other injured players. I would expect him to be available. I don't get like a worry that it won't be him. But, yeah, I don't have like as good of a read on that as I do, I would say, Jalen.
All right, speaking of – go ahead, John, I'm sorry.
Do you feel like there's a pall in any way over with the decision, with the Saquon decision? I know it's time to move past it, but I hated it personally. I wondered if you can perceive that there's a remnant that might distract this team this week.
I definitely don't think it will distract the team this Great. Week or during the playoff run. I do believe the players wanted to go for it. Obviously, I can't speak for all 53 players in the locker room. I'm sure the defensive guys probably weren't as worked up about it as some of the main figures there. But I do think they wanted to go for it. Now, I will say, I think that if there's, you know, one of Nick Sirianni's strengths, it is like managing the locker room and relationships. So if they decided not, and obviously they did decide not to go for it, I would trust that he has a good read on it. My only concern with this would not be during the playoff run. My concern would be 6 months from now, you know, 4 months from now, where everything settles down and it's the off season. You know, how does Saquon feel about it then? So I understand the decision not to go for it. I trust that he knows the locker room, but my concern would be more long term than short term.
Elliot, with this, and of course, Nick Sirianni in 15 minutes. Elliot, to what extent do you think Nick Sirianni will have to coach around Jake Elliott's struggles this year in this game versus Green Bay? I mean, do you see scenarios that could be, ordinarily it's kick a field goal, it's 46 yards, kick a field goal, but it's like, no, not now. Don't trust him enough. Do you think he coaches around it?
I don't know. I think that they will. I mean, he's they're already
I'll
so
tell you
aggressive.
This. I think that's a mistake if he doesn't. I think he should coach around it.
So I know Jake Elliott has struggled, but I don't think it's a coincidence that, I mean, the last, like, truly important kicks he kicked that I can remember, unless I'm forgetting one, was Washington, right? He made that big kick late. I know he struggled, but Jake Elliott has made so many clutch kicks in his time here. I'm more worried about him maybe missing one in the first quarter. Not that that's not important. Obviously, every point matters. But then I would be in critical crunch time situations. I do still trust him there. But the other part of this is if you're talking about, you know, they're at the 46 or whatever, a 46-yard field goal, they're already pretty aggressive there. So unless you're in a fourth and long, I
well, that's what I wonder about. I mean, just to drill down more, I wonder about a fourth and five, first quarter, or a 46-yard field goal. I mean, what does he do there?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because 46-yard field goal
is supposed to be. I do not trust Jake at all right now. Zero.
Yeah.
Like,
guys,
I just don't trust him.
I think it's the distance thing. I think
that's my point.
Right. It's past 50 yards.
I think it's even a little before that now.
Well, if it's 45 and up, it just feels like he doesn't have as much pop in his leg.
Well, clearly.
And why is that?
Yeah.
Why?
And now it'll be colder. And so, like, does 50 become 45? Like, that's all kind of, you know.
It probably does.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Anyway. All right, Elliot, a lot more here to get to. Saquon, do they lean on him even more?
I think they're going to use Saquon quite a bit. That's what got them here. You know, I think that obviously with Jalen having not played for a few weeks, you probably do want to rely on the running game a little bit early. And the whole benefit of resting the team last week is they are good to go. They're healthy. They got their bye week and they're full go for next week. So I expect to see plenty of Saquon in the playoffs. You know, I guess it was last week at this point or 2 weeks ago when he talked about not playing in that final game. You know, he kind of mentioned, you know, the record for total yards in the playoffs, including regular season, I think is like 24-14 or something like that. By Terrell Davis. So I expect to see plenty of Saquon Barkley in the playoffs.
So here's another one for you, for more. Okay, I'm just putting this out there. I don't know if they will. I'm telling you, I think they should, Elliot. Jalen running more early. Jalen Hurts running more early. Elliot, you know for a couple years I've been the guy saying, be careful. It's a long season. You hope it's a long career. all of that applies to the regular season. This ain't the regular season, man. I mean, it was very clear to me in the regular season, he runs more in the second half than the first half. And my point is, when this game starts, I want them thinking positively, hey, we're...
I think they're going to be cutting it loose.
Right? I mean,
he's going to be running from the get-go.
Do you think they do that,
Elliot?
I think
they're aware that's a huge part of why they're successful offensively. That's the final factor that makes us different than almost all the other teams out there.
Yeah, and they don't normally utilize that until deeper in the game. Cut it loose, man.
Yeah, so I don't think they're going to do things much different in the playoffs than they did in the regular season. I feel like you guys are asking, like, are they going to use Saquon more? Are they going to run Jalen more? I mean, they won 14 games in one of the best offenses in the league, so I don't expect them to completely alter the game plan here. Now, in terms of Jalen running it, yeah, I absolutely think he'll be a threat. I don't think that the, you know, missing this time or the concussion, you know, obviously I hope he, you know, protects himself, but I don't think that'll be something that'll be super in their mind. Yeah. So, no, I expect to see a very similar Eagles offense.
Elliot, does Nick Sirianni get a contract extension this offseason if the Eagles lose in the first round?
Yeah, I think he will, because I don't think they'll fire him if he loses in the first round, and I don't think they'll make him go into the final year of his deal without an extension. We're not talking about cap space here. We're not talking about, you know, any of that. It's just money out of Jeffrey's pocket, and it's an expensive problem to pay away, but you can't bring Nick back next year if he doesn't have a contract extension. He's earned it, but I also think that he will get it.
All right, Elliot, good work, buddy. I agree with you on all fronts there. I think he will get it, win or lose. All right, Elliot, stay well, man. We'll talk to you later in the week. Eagles-Packers on Sunday. Thanks, pal.
Yep, sounds good.
All right, let's get to our Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new 2025 Equinox. It sets the bar on styling, and Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. Poll question related to the AFC. We spend so much time on the NFC for obvious reasons, but who do you think reaches the Super Bowl from the AFC? Will it be the Bills, Chiefs, Ravens, or other? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Count me in on the Chiefs. For two different reasons. One, I think they're the best team. Two, they have home field advantage. I mean, like, I know everyone's like, oh, the Bills! It's the Bills! Well, the Chiefs went 15-1 in the games they tried. So
one was to the Bills, though.
The
for
one
what
was.
It's worth.
No, listen, I'm not saying the Bills are schlub. I mean, they are legit, man. But I think the Chiefs are more
the
legit.
The Chiefs, like, first 6 or 7 weeks, I mean, how many games. Were they just
I think all
like,
season they bet like 2 points.
But it was three really six stars early on.
No, I know. The Bills have more momentum, and the Chiefs, it's always easy to count them out because, oh, well, they're there every year.
I still take Pat Mahomes over any player in pro
like
football.
It's really hard. We know. We saw what it's like to go to a Super Bowl and then come back the next year. Like, we've seen it twice, how hard it is for even when you win it. This team's gone to 2 straight Super Bowls and won them both. Like, I just think it's really hard to get back there again is all I'm saying.
Rhea, can you make any sense of the Ravens having better Super Bowl odds than the Eagles?
No, not especially because it's not like they played them several months ago.
Yeah, it was a month
ago. They played them in the cold there, you know, and they were kind of, and you know, Lamar's an MVP candidate again. So, yeah, to me, and wasn't that game, didn't Jalen have a pretty good game? In that game,
I honestly don't remember.
He was okay. They won. I think it was 24-12.
Oh, he didn't have to throw a lot in that game, but they were, you know,
they were down 9-0, and then they won.
Saquon had that big run, the big run at the end, the touchdown run to kind of put salt it away.
I think the nation is sleeping on the Eagles' defense. That's what I think's going on. I think they're very aware of Saquon, but I don't think they realize
they haven't flipped the switch from last. I mean, Joe, it is remarkable to go from the worst defense.
I know.
In the entire league, to the best year.
It's one of the great turnarounds in the history of Philly sports.
It really is.
It's sort of almost 92 Phils to 93 Phils-ish. Yeah. Now, I'm saying specifically the defense, not the whole team.
Defense.
But for the defense to go from as bad as they were to as good as they are, it's stunning.
It's not as stunning as you make it out to
it's
be.
It's so
when you
rare,
think
though,
about,
John.
Well, it is rare.
It gets a number
it's,
one.
It's rare. I've never seen anything like it. But when you look at the reality of our situation, it's very, very matter of fact. You add 4 players of this quality, Jalen Carter, Zach Bond, Cooper DeJean, and our new cornerback, Quinion.
Plus CJGJ.
Oh, CJGJ, the fifth edition. Yes. Yes. Critical positions, critical contributions, with CJGJ, it's the emotional lift as well.
Yeah, he's good.
You know, 5 new players, three of whom basically are rookies, N'Kobe Dean,
four also.
Of whom have never done this before. Actually, let's call N'Kobe Dean another quasi-rookie.
Played for like a half a game last year or
something,
right? A guy
who has not played to this level because he was not coached this well. And the way that he's working and interconnecting with Zach Bond and Cooper DeJean, our linebacker play has been impeccable. We're talking about things fitting together and just guys who understand the defense and know where their help is and help one another. And they'll take calculated risks because they know what to expect because of the study, because of the preparation. You can see that this defense is learned. And that's why people, I believe, across the country, when they watch us, when they watch the tape getting ready for this game, they will respect the Philadelphia Eagles if they haven't seen it as much as we have.
Yeah.
The people who know football will respect the Eagles.
All right, so Nick Sirianni joins us in 5 minutes. You can hop aboard right now, 215-592-9494. By the way, Wechter says we need some Times Yours calls. I guess Seltzer people weren't reacting to the no Joel Embiid game last night.
Apparently not. We did not get calls on that. No.
I'm going to give people some suggestions.
People are checked out on that.
No.
Some suggestions right now for in 1 hour Times Yours at 215-238-4500. Joel not playing.
Mm-hmm.
Me just having another time where my voice got a little high.
Yeah, you know? That's true. That's
okay.
True. You cooking pork and beans, just throwing it all in a pan and
still
saying,
don't get to
cook.
You didn't salt and
raw
pepper it.
Pork.
At least.
You just pour it
raw
in a can of beans and cook it all together. And that's your dinner. That's disgusting.
It's phenomenal.
No, that's not the way you're supposed to do
it.
Because
react.
That's a poor job of planning. Just do a little spicing. Just cook them separately.
Not my style. And then Eagles Packers. You pick your topic. Hit us up at 215. This is Time's Yours now. 215-238-4500. Best of the best Times Yours calls will make it in an hour. Of course, you can join us at 215-592-9494, the regular phone line. Let's get a Ken in Cinnamon. What's going on, Ken?
Good morning, friends. And I think it's not too late to say Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy New Year, buddy.
So before I get to the Eagles and the Packers, John, you were referencing the rookie defensive tackle who was been so disruptive in this defense. I'm not sure who you're talking about.
Was it Thomas Booker? I was trying to figure that out too.
Oh, sorry. Second year.
Oh, you're talking about Carter?
Yeah.
Oh boy, you got him, Ken.
Young.
No, I
mean seriously.
I'm not trying to gotcha. I wasn't sure.
Like I wasn't sure either. I almost jumped in and asked too.
I think we all knew who
I mean, I think I paid pretty close attention to the Eagles and I thought I was missing something.
Gotcha.
I fully agree with Jaws. I think they're going to boat race this team. Talk about lack of respect, and I do think the Eagles are being kind of – I think it's not so much lack of respect as much as it's just taken for granted. I mean, this team is always good with very rare exceptions, and it's almost like you get – it's like people are always looking for an alternative to the Chiefs in the AFC because it's just like – it's when the Patriots are winning Super Bowls every year. It's like, can't we get somebody else? And the Eagles are just always such a well-run team, such a well-run organization. The roster's so good. The coaching staff is so good. So I'm not sure it's disrespect as much as it's just, yeah, well, there's always the Eagles to look at.
I don't agree, Ken. I think people doubt Sirianni nationally. I think there are a lot of people
that just don't
vibe with them.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to having the winningest head coach in the NFL today. Follow me here, and I can't wait to listen to him.
Okay, you got it. Ken, give me a great answer here, man, for what's one of a kind.
Well, just one thing about what John said, where we're probably going to play the Vikings. I have no doubt that Todd Bowles can do to Sam Darnold what Aaron Glenn just did to Sam Darnold on Monday night. So I wouldn't take it for granted that they're going to beat the Bucs.
Take it for granted, but I think Minnesota's more likely to win.
I think Kevin O'Connell can help Sam Darnold fix the mistakes that he made against pressure.
Look, Sam Darnold is playing for about $50 million this weekend.
Way more than that. Are you kidding?
Well, I mean, that's
like
a lot.
Dude, he's playing for like a quarterback contract.
No, I'm saying a $50 million difference, like $125 million or $175 million.
Oh, I got you. I thought
million.
You were saying, I got you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was saying he's playing for like a $200 million contract.
He's already
weekend.
Getting at least $100 million.
There's no pressure on him whatsoever.
Ken, who or what's one of a kind?
A fingerprint.
You know, unless it's not. I've never bought that. theory.
Well, we've been tracking fingerprints since like the 1800s, and there have never been two that are alive.
Well, we didn't track Julius Caesar's.
Is this your carbon dating theory?
This is a bad one.
No, I don't buy that there's no two fingerprints.
I do think there has to be a limit to the number of patterns.
Hold on.
The number of patterns. No, I'm saying I'm disagreeing with you.
There has to
be a limit to the number of patterns that you can have on your fingers. So I think there has to be overlap eventually.
So you're agreeing with me.
No, I'm saying
that's what I'm saying.
Like
there are different people who have the same fingerprint.
But there never has been. We just don't know.
James, who's fingerprinted me?
Yeah, we just don't know.
I've never been fingerprinted, so how do they know?
Okay, so they fingerprinted...
You know, you just said they fingered everybody since the 1800s.
No, I said they've been doing fingerprinting since the 1800s, is what I said. They have been doing fingerprinting since the 1800s. Yikes. Oh!
Who's doing that?
Everybody.
Hey, now!
As if...
Whoa, now. Well,
that just changed the conversation.
All right, let me go into my Paul George mode.
Here's
my Paul George mode, all right?
Another bonehead play.
Yeah, it sure was.
Oof. Rain it in. Hey, now. All right, Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni will join us coming up shortly.
I'm not sure he will.
No, 2-1, he's running the other way. 215-592-9494. An early drop of the year.
Without a doubt. I can't pull it fast enough.
All right, Sirianni. Somehow we'll go in a serious mode with Sirianni coming up shortly. Let's get to Lenny and Conshohocken. Len, bail me out, Lenny.
Sweating.
How am I supposed to follow that?
Oh, boy.
All right. So let me get refocused here. I got a point. I was watching about the Eagles, but then the Lions-Vikings game. Did you guys notice that when you were watching the game, how the Vikings struggled inside the five? And then as an Eagles fan, you're like, wow, we don't struggle to get the ball in the end zone inside the five-yard line.
It's an advantage. Yeah, it's an advantage.
Tank. We're in a tank. We overpower everything.
It is a monster advantage, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So I want to talk about the Packers-Eagles game head-to-head. I'm not worried at all. I'd rather play the Packers than the Commanders because of just simply the quarterback. If you do a breakdown position by position, first of all, the Packers are 1-6 against teams in the NFC that have made the playoffs. So they haven't really beaten anybody good. And the only two teams that they've beaten that are in the playoffs are the Texans at home, which are a dome team, and the Rams in like week 2 or 3 before the Rams are even who they are now. If you go position by position, we're literally better. They are literally a Timu version of the Eagles. Hurt, better than Love. Barkley, better than Jacobs. Our receivers, better than all of them. Our line, better. Tight end, better. Defense, better. The only edge you might want to give is the coach, but at this point, is LaFleur better than Sirianni?
Yeah, look, I think Sirianni's fantastic. All right, Lenny, give me a great answer here for who or what is one of a kind.
Muggsy Bogues.
You know, that is a great answer.
Wow.
You know, I wonder.
That's a phenomenal answer.
Are we ever going to see a 5'3" guy in the NBA again? That the Muggsy Bogues thing is one of the most wild things we've ever seen. And he was good.
5'3" guys like went way back at the inception.
Yeah,
of the NBA.
I don't know that
maybe
there
not,
were.
But either way, now
guys, Muggsy started for about 7 or 8
yeah,
years.
He's unbelievable.
He started, and I believe. I think
he was on the same
to this
team.
Day,
with
I think to this day he was on the same team. I think he is the best assist to turnover ratio in NBA history. I think. Because you couldn't get the ball from him. I mean, the ball was down on his ankles. All right, let's talk some Eagles football with our next guest. He is, of course, the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Brought to us by Bud Light. Join Ava Graham at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia Friday night for an Eagles wild card pep rally. Win tickets to this weekend's Eagles game. Of course, that's the Eagles and the Packers. You can win merchandise as well. He is the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Getting ready for those postseason game, Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Nick. So, Nick, congrats on 14-3 in the 2 seed. And, I know you rested the guys, and I'm just curious out of the gate. I assume you do, but if you could tell us about the team's frame of mind. I mean, it seems like you guys are in a great spot right now to attack the postseason. How do you feel as the head coach of a team getting ready this time to go after it all? But one game at a time, I know. How do you feel the team is mindset-wise to go after it all?
Yeah, completely focused, just like we've been all season long, completely focused on the next game, the next practice, the next walkthrough, the next lifting session, the next meeting. So We're going to treat this week like we treated the last 17 weeks, just ready to go and putting all the work in this week that's necessary to try to win a game.
Nick, does literally nothing change? You know, because I know you're very consistent with that. You just got to handle what's right in front of you. Does nothing change when it's a postseason game, or does something get tweaked?
Literally nothing changes. You know, if I'm doing something a little bit different, that doesn't mean you don't work to get better and try to, you know, do things differently as far as, you know, some scheme stuff and some things that you were able to study and this and that. That doesn't mean that, but your process through the week stays exactly the same. We'd all be shortchanging this football team if, you know, when the stakes got higher, we did something different, because what did the last couple games mean and all the rest of the games that we played mean? So literally nothing changes. We go into the process and go through the exact same process that we've been going through for the past 17 weeks.
Nick, I know Jalen is still in concussion protocol. With him still in that protocol, does rust worry you if he gets cleared and how he hasn't played for a couple weeks now?
Yeah, no. We got so much faith in him and this and the things that he can do. And this is why you practice the way we practice. Practice is highly, very high intensity. I feel like we have a great practice plan and our guys, go about their business in practice, very game-like. And so that's where you work out your kinks or anything that you have. But, just being locked in and focused all week, and got a lot of faith in Jalen, as he gets ready to play the football game.
It was a really rough choice you had to make last week. How do you avoid second-guessing the Saquon decision? And are you sensing any lingering effects of possibly disappointment that might be carrying over that worry you?
No, we have a lot of conversations. This is why you one of the big important reasons to be a connected football team and for the head coach to be connected to his players is so you can have these conversations and be able to have honest conversations of what they're feeling, what I'm feeling, what the right thing to do for them and the football team is, and vice versa of what how they feel that as well. So I have no concerns about that. No regrets about that, and ready to move forward and play Green Bay.
And when you compare week 1 to week 19, what's the biggest, it really is unusual. You get to go all the way back to the beginning to get ready for the beginning of the playoffs. What's the biggest difference in the Packers, and what's the biggest difference in your team?
Yeah, there's been so many football games that have been played. There's been so many different things. Again, as you go through each week, just like I was saying earlier, you go through the same process. Process remains the same. But, you tweak things as you go, as far as, hey, we're pretty good at this, let's do this a little bit more. And then that grows, and hey, we're not quite as good at this, let's pull back on that. And they do the same thing. That doesn't mean that you don't go and watch the tape from the beginning of the year, because we will. You do that from, if you hadn't played an opponent in a year, you'll go back and watch the tape from the year before.
Sure.
If you hadn't played an opponent in 2 years, you'll go back. I mean, I'll go back 3 or 4 years if we hadn't played that opponent in a while, and just to watch that football game. So it's the same thing here, but I just have a lot of respect for this football team. I think Matt LaFleur is a great football coach, and they obviously have done some really great things there. I think he's got some special players that he coaches up well, and him and his staff coach up well. Just a lot of respect. And they've continued to get better. I think both teams are no doubt better than they were, in Brazil in week 1. And it'll be a good matchup.
Nick Sirianni with us right now. Nick, you always have to prepare for the possibility of a backup QB getting in there. Do you, with Jordan Love's injury, do you prepare more? Do you spend more time this week than usual on the possibility of the backup getting in there, in this case, Malik Willis?
Yeah, always. You always spend time with that. With the uncertainties, you might spend a little bit more time, yeah. That will continue to show itself as the week progresses. But, yeah, you have to prepare for everything. That's what, the preparation is the part where, all the work's done to put yourself in position to win. So, yeah, just like you prepare for, rain, wind, snow, You know, their plan, you know, what the things they do, the things they've shown on tape, they're big time players. You do the same thing here in this situation. So, you know, we'll leave no stone unturned. We'll watch every game. We'll watch all those, all the times Willis has played, and we'll go from there.
Nick, Jake Elliott missed again, and he's now 1 of 7 from 50 yards out or farther. What's the difference this year? He was so money from any distance previously. It feels like the farther the kick this year, the less confidence we as fans have in him. What's the root of that?
You know, I still have so much faith in Jake and what he's done and how he's been so clutch. You know, I think that, you know, he obviously has some misses. We've had a couple that have been at the end of the half where we've really, you know, which a lot of teams do, you push the line there at the end of the half to, because it's going to be your last, you know, your last play there. You know, I think one got blocked. So all those things you take into account. But I still feel like if there's nobody else in the league I'd rather have when, or if we're lining up to kick a game-winning kick than Jake Elliott. And, you know, again, you guys see it on Sunday, and that's very understandable. But, you know, we get to see it Monday, you know, Monday through Saturday of the clutch. You know, we practice different things to put them in high-pressure situations during practice. And so you have faith because of what you see Monday through Saturday. In preparation for Sunday.
We as fans, we just worry so much about whether he's physically like sound, and then we also worry about his head. When he misses a couple, can he bounce back from that adversity?
I think this guy has the definition of dog mentality. So he's the same guy every single day. I love his mentality. You got to have that mentality as a quarterback. You got to have that mentality as a quarterback, as a defensive back, as a kicker, as a wideout. Every position in football, you have to have that. And those guys that, you know, there's a reason he's played for as long as he has in this league, that he has that mental toughness to be able to move on and adjust whatever he needs to adjust after a miss and focus on the task at hand. And I have, again, like I said, have no doubt in his mindset, have no doubt in his ability that he'll be ready to go this weekend.
Nick, the last couple of weeks you saw both of your backup quarterbacks somewhat extensively. Have you made a decision yet on who your designated number two QB will be in the postseason, Kenny Pickett or Tanner McKay?
You know, I think the main thing is just I got so much confidence in that entire room. You know, it's a good problem to have. You know, Kenny's played really good. When, you know, Kenny played, I felt like, a really good game against Washington. And then for the first half plus against Dallas to put us in a position, you know, that we were winning the game when he came out, pretty sound. And then, you know, Tanner came in and played the rest of that game really well, and I thought he played a really good game there. And so we have three guys that we feel really good about, which, you know, that there's something to be said about that, and really have a ton of confidence in all three of those guys. And it's been, you know, we're able to see the backups play with Kenny and with Tanner, and they just got some really good reps and some great film out there, and kind of showed us what we were expecting, you know, based off our you know, how we see them and view them in practice.
Nick, what's the biggest difference in postseason play compared to regular season play?
You know, again, we're going to try to treat everything the exact same way as far as our preparation. But there's, you know, there's a couple more cameras out there. There's a little bit more, you know, there's going to be more media in our press conferences this week. There's going to be, you know, all those different, there's going to be a little bit more people on the sideline. Couple more former players on the sideline that, you know, are doing the broadcasting and all the media, and so again, our job as players and as coaches is to keep it try to keep it as normal as possible. Like, you know, I would compare it to this. Like, you try to keep the same routine, right? And so a basketball player is taught, you know, you get up to the free throw line and you take a dribble. You breathe in and out, and then you shoot, right? That was my routine, you know, and everybody has their own routine. Some guys are 4 dribbles, and some guys are 2 dribbles and a spin.
You were 1 dribble, that's it?
I wanted to shoot. I wanted to roll.
So what's your percentage? What's your free throw percentage?
Not as good as mine.
I was a good free throw shooter. I'm not going to say. I think I was in the low 80s.
Wow.
Of the player.
Holy
you'll
cow.
Have to. You may have to stat check that. That did have.
That's
did
impressive.
Have a couple bad games. But I had a couple good games too. But anyway, you keep it all the same. You try to keep it all the same. So if all of a sudden, when things are different, when you know whoever's on the sideline, you know this week or whatever it is, you start doing something different with your routine. You know you don't do that. Basketball players don't do that. We don't do that. And so there'll be some things that feel different. There is no doubt. Like you can't hide that. But. You know, our job is to, and my job and my message really this week is going to be keep yourself consistent. You win 14 games and you win the NFC East. You don't kind of gather everybody up and go, okay, here's what we're going to do now. You know, you say, hey, this is what we've done. This is what's worked. Let's go back to let's go and get ourselves ready. Because then the preparation is what helps you put yourself in position to be able to win.
So, Nick, I totally get the be consistent thing. I want to a little flip side, and I'm curious if it resonates with you. Jalen just does not seem to run as much early in the first quarter as he does as the game develops. And I get that. I mean, it's week four of the regular season. It's not as critical as a postseason game. Do you unleash him earlier so that he and your offense can be at its best as early as possible in a do-or-die game?
Yeah, you know, Jalen does so many things well. We'll do whatever we need to do to get a fast start. We'll do whatever we need to do to win this game, and I know he'll do the exact same. And, you know, he does so many things well that, you know, we'll see how the game goes. We'll see how the game goes. But, again, like I said, I know it's important to get a fast start. I think we've been better at that since, for the past month and a half of the season. Doesn't mean we started off so slow that I don't think we aren't going to crack the top 10 here, but the push that we've made, has shown some real progress of things we've gotten better at. And again, like I said, we'll do everything we need to do to get a fast start to help us win this football game.
Nick, final thing here. You are in your career 2-0 in home games in the postseason at Lincoln Financial Field. Andy Reid went through it a lot, won a lot of home games at the Link and the Vet. What is it like to coach at home at Lincoln Financial Field in a postseason game? What does that crowd mean to you?
Yeah, like I said, everything's heightened, right? Everything's heightened as far as the atmosphere. And that's a great thing because we have the best fans and the best sports city in the world, in my opinion, and it's going to be rocking. And every time I've felt like every time we played a whole half game, it is rocking in there. And you can, when I really saw that and noticed that, as I remember when we first got here, Coach Gannon was like, "Hey, let me show you the video of us playing the Eagles before the 2017 NFC Championship game." I'm like, "Oh my God, that's unbelievable." And so that's where my, like, because I had never played a playoff game. I was always in the AFC, so I had never played a playoff game here. And so you saw that atmosphere and you thought, and you can't help but when we got here in 2021, take yourself to a moment when you're going to be playing home playoff games and think about how special that it's going to be. And then fast forward, to the two games we had in 2022, of how special that atmosphere was. I think, obviously that the biggest game I've ever been a part of in my career as a football coach is that 2022 NFC Championship game, the biggest win, championship game, and the atmosphere and the feeling. So you just have all those, memories that flood back of the way that the stadium sounded, the atmosphere of our crowd, how loud it was on a third down when they were trying to go to convert it. How rowdy it is when, after you score or after one of their players looks in the stands and they get booed. Like it just all those feelings, it make me feel about all those feelings there of that you get and just how important our city is, how important our crowd is. To the success of our team here in this playoff run.
Hey, Nick, the city, the whole region, really, really excited. Good luck to you on Sunday versus the Green Bay Packers, Nick. Good luck.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, there he is, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni.